Kia ora, this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
For Kocha, August Volcharov. You have just tuned in to Capital Irish on Access Radio, 106.1 FM. We broadcast to you from Wellington every Sunday and just bringing you a little bit of news from Ireland, anything connected with Ireland. And I'll just start off today by telling you I'm Alice Paul. And maybe once every 6 weeks I'll broadcast, because we have a team of six or seven of us. Some people go off to Ireland just at the drop of a hat. But we have Doug, who's doing the technical work for us today. And Doug Sullivan, he's an amazing young fella from Galway. So he's always ready to help us. And I have also got a lovely surprise in the studio today. A young woman from Dundalk, called Laurie Winkless. But I'm going to tell you more about Laurie in a few minutes after. I just start off by telling you what's been happening in Ireland this week. So the biggest news to date was that President Zelensky of Ukraine addressed the Irish Oireachtas last night, or yesterday our time, the Irish Dáil. And that was the most heart-rending speech I think I've ever seen. It was so filled with emotion. And he was appealing to the Irish politicians to use their influence to provide a little bit of support for them to change things and to get more strength in issuing more sanctions against Russia. And he thanked the Irish people and the Irish government for opening their doors to the 17,000 Ukrainian refugees who have arrived there, and for giving them their total support. And he hoped that they will stay there until they have a safe country to return to. And after he finished speaking, there was an applause, something I've never seen. Oh my goodness, it was beautiful. And then the house was open to speakers, and Mary Lou MacDonald from Sinn Féin was the biggest surprise for me, because she stood up and she said that the Russian ambassador should be sent home, and that she really gave it her all. I was really proud that she did that, and I thought it was probably the finest reply to his speech, and it must be very encouraging for him. And the interesting thing about it was that he stayed and he watched the whole aftermath, which normally, the Zoom shuts down after he's finished his speech, but he's got a great affiliation for Ireland, and he's been there. In fact, he's been in Drogheda. I've seen photographs of him when he was there as a comedian. So he knows Ireland very well. So that's enough rambling from me for a minute. A really warm welcome, Laurie.
Thanks so much. It's so lovely to be here, Alice.
Yeah, thank you. Laurie, I know you'd be too embarrassed to blow your own trumpet, so I'm just going to read a little bit about what I researched on the net. And if you type in Laurie Winkless, ooh, it all rushes out at you. You're a physicist and a science writer. You're a contributor to Forbes magazine. You've worked with schools and universities and the Royal Society, the Naked Scientist. And Laurie was born in Dundalk to Jackie is your dad?
Yeah.
Who's an engineer, and your mum, who is a theatre director, so Rosemary. And you went to Trinity College and received a BSc in physics and astrophysics from Trinity. Worked at NASA, Kennedy Space Centre, and returned to school to do your MSc in space science from the University College of London. And after completing your studies, you worked in materials team at the National Physical Laboratory for 7 years. Now, honestly, it's just daunting for me to meet somebody with such an amazing CV. But I'm not going to keep talking. But the reason that you've here is because we saw a fantastic article about you in the Dominion Post and then subsequently heard a few interviews on the radio, that you've just published your second book.
I have, yeah. So I am a scientist, kind of born and raised, really. I've always been a very curious person. I've always loved talking about science and engineering to anyone who would listen. And the opportunity to write books wasn't something that I thought I'd ever have, to be honest. It wasn't in my grand career plan by any means. I thought I'd stay in the lab. But it came about, I wrote my first book in 2016, and that was called Science and the City. And it was really all about how urban infrastructure works. So any questions you might have had about cities, like what happens when you push a button at a pedestrian crossing, or where does everything go that I flush down the loo?
Yes.
I kind of answered all of those questions using my scientific knowledge and background and interviewing lots of interesting people. And that started me on the path of writing about science as my profession and communicating science as my job, really. Yeah. And now I've just published, like you said, my second book, which is called Sticky. Mm. And that's much closer to the type of scientific research I used to do while I was at the National Physical Laboratory. Mm. So while my first book was very much motivated by the fact that I was living in London and, you know, London is this big urban ecosystem we all rely on things like the tube without even thinking about it. Mm. That kind of was the inspiration for that book. But this book with Sticky, it's been really nice being, you know, delving back into my old research notes and also even interviewing some of my old colleagues about their research, because it's really all about how stuff sticks and why other things slip. So it's a book about friction, which doesn't sound very exciting, but it has been a real journey writing it. And it's covered such a wide range of topics that it's been just the biggest and most intense project I've ever worked on. So to have it out in the wild now is really exciting.
Great. It is really exciting because I read somewhere that as a child, you would ask questions like, how does the paint stick to the wall?
I was a very annoying kid. I'm still a pretty annoying adult, to be honest. But that works in the world of science, you know.
Yeah. And then there was more about, was it the Australian in the paintings on the...
Yeah, so that? Paint, I start the whole book with paint really because I'm a bit of a DIYer. I really enjoy it. Yeah. And even though I do a lot of DIY and I repainted my whole house, I didn't really understand the chemistry of paint.
Yeah.
So it kind of seemed like a natural starting point for me because in my head, paint and glues, they're the first thing I think of when I think of stickiness. Mm-hmm. So I had the opportunity to go to the Resine factory in Nainai.
That's right, I read
that. You know, digging in, like getting to hang out with the scientists there and learning a bit more about how they make the paint that we really take for granted. Mm. But within that process, I wanted to look at the first paint makers. And to me, I just looked across the ditch. So I looked to Australia, to Aboriginal painters and artists, senior knowledge holders of different peoples from across Australia, because they were really, you know, if we think about cave art, that's really the earliest form of art that we still have. So I really wanted to start there. It felt like if I'm going to talk about paint, I want to go back as far as I can.
Wow.
And we're talking like tens of thousands of years.
Yes.
Yeah, some of this art has literally been on walls for 40,000 years and it's still there.
So what was the biggest thing that you, out of that, you know, and just experiencing all that, that you were just motivated to write about it?
Yeah,
or was that,
I think,
did that come after? Was that part of your research?
It kind of was part of my research. I had been to, I'd been on a trip to Oz not long before, just after I'd moved to New Zealand, basically. So the beginnings of this, I'd written the proposal for this book by then.
Oh.
But actually the final version of the book is quite different from the proposal. Because I took inspiration from things I started to see. And one of the things that we went to see when we were on the outskirts of Sydney was Red Hands Cave, which is a cave which has, as you'd imagine, red hands that are painted all over it. Now, that's not as ancient as many of the rock art sites that are in different parts of Australia, like in the Northern Territory. But it made me realise that if I was going to talk about paint, that should be the first stop on that journey. So it wasn't something I had written in my proposal, but going to see that place made me revisit what, you know, to rethink the structure of this chapter for sure.
Yeah,
and that happens a lot in writing,
of
you
course,
know.
Yeah,
you have a plan and the plan changes.
Plan changes.
And usually it changes for the better. So I kind of go with it.
That's great.
Yeah.
But you know, we're talking about your book, Sticky, which is actually going to be launched well by the time this program comes on, because we're recording on Thursday. The launch is on Friday evening in Petone, but people will be able to pick up a copy of it in
Schrodinger's.
Yeah,
yep,
Schrodinger's.
Yeah. So
we're
Sticky,
struggling with that word.
That's all right. Sticky should be available basically anywhere you can get books. It's available right across the world now, finally in New Zealand.
Yes.
The last place for us to get it.
But so where was it published?
So it's my publisher is Bloomsbury, so they're based in the UK.
Oh.
So it started in the UK, then it was launched in the US, and now it's in Australia and New Zealand.
My goodness. You'd probably end up travelling around the world if it hadn't been for COVID with interviews about the book.
Yeah, thankfully I've managed to do a lot of international interviews over Zoom, etc.
So
I haven't quite missed out, but
yeah. So I know you've just said about paint, but then there's the thing about how does tar stick to the road and all sorts of about friction, about cars and speeding and all that sort of thing. It'd be a great one for young, what age group, how young could you introduce those sort of concepts?
The youngest reader who I know I've had has been 16.
Yes, right.
But I have had some messages from parents who've bought it for kind of 13, 14-year-olds. They haven't started reading it yet, as far as I know. But I think it's more of a teen to adults type of book.
Mm-hmm.
But it really doesn't require any prior scientific knowledge.
It doesn't. That's why I'm hoping when I read it, I'll be able to manage it.
I very much take the, like, I'm your friendly science guide approach to these things. You know, we hold hands and I take you through it with me.
Great.
Because, you know, although I'm an expert on some aspects of this book, most of this book were things that I have my own questions about.
Yes.
So the process of asking and answering those questions, I really try hard to bring the reader with me so that I'm not just lecturing.
No.
You're
and
learning
you're a great
alongside.
Storyteller, obviously.
Oh, thank
as well.
You.
and talking about that, we Laurie has chosen the music for this evening. So maybe we'll start off with your first, and if you would introduce it.
Sure,
Laurie.
I'll be happy to. So my first song is a song by Hozier, and it's called Nina Cried Power. And the reason I've chosen it is because it's kind of a fight song. It's about the power of protest and using your voice.
And that's surely relevant in this day and age, isn't it?
Definitely.
Thank you, Doug.
It's not the waking, it's the rising. It is the grounding of a foot uncompromising. It's not forgoing of the light. It's not the opening of eyes. It's not the waking, it's the rising. It's not the shade, we should be past it. It's the light and it's the obstacle that casts it. It's the heat that drives the light. It's the fire it ignites. It's not the waking, it's the rising. It's not the song, it is the singing.
stronger than me. Straight into the face that tells you to rattle your chains. If you love being free.
Now, thank you. That was lovely. Lovely to have the music chosen. Hozier's fabulous singer. So you're tuned in, as I said, to Capital Irish on 106.1 FM. And if by any chance you want to listen to the program again, we're on podcast now. You can go to www.accessradio.org.nz and then just Capital Irish. And you find all our podcast there. They're sitting there for you, really. I know I visited Bernie Breslin the other day, one of our broadcasters who used to be a broadcaster with us, but he's a little bit of health problems and he no longer does it. Mind you, he's still making all his lovely instruments, so he's in good enough shape, but he just didn't fancy the idea of continuing with the broadcasting. But yeah, we've had quite a few interesting people on our roll over the last 10 years or so, and always great to have people listening. He listens to our programmes. He tells me he has his favourite broadcasters, but he didn't mention who they were. But he promised he'd listen to this programme, Laurie. And I'm with Laurie Winkless today in the studio. Laurie, as I said before, she's a scientist and physicist and a science writer, and has made a great impression already in New Zealand. She's a bit of a household name here now. And so, Laurie, coming to New Zealand, just give us a wee bit about the domestic side of your life. Like, how on earth did you end up in New Zealand?
Yeah, it's a good question. Again, it kind of wasn't on the plan, really. I am now married to a New Zealander. We both worked in the same research lab in the UK. So we were both living in London, both working in this huge research lab, which you mentioned, the National Physical Laboratory. And we kind
of... So he's a scientist as well?
He is, oh, yeah. Okay. Conversations in our house are very nerdy, as you might imagine. But it's really great. It's like, we're such a good team for that reason too. But when we met, and it was a kind of, I should say, it's a running joke really in my family, I'm a huge rugby fan.
Really?
I've always been a rugby fan, like Leinster, True Blue, and I've always loved the All Blacks, even as a kid, you know.
Honestly, and that's my, so yeah, funny for an Irish woman.
My parents were always like, no one's going to be shocked if she marries a Kiwi, kind of half joking. And then when Richard and I met and we started dating, it was like, oh, how convenient.
That's so funny. I hope he likes rugby, does he?
He does. He likes it more since we've been together, I think. I've hooked him back in.
Funny.
Yeah, so we met in the lab, and in kind of early 2016, we talked about maybe moving to New Zealand, you know, for a year or two, to see if it would work for us, you know, why not? We didn't have any ties there, and we thought maybe. And then the Brexit vote happened, and there was a restructure at the lab, and there were all of these elements that kind of lined up to allow us the opportunity to move to Aotearoa. So we made the move in December 2016, and we've been here ever since and really love it. I'm a permanent resident now, so I'll be here for a long time, I suspect. And we've bought a house. We're very lucky. We're in a very lucky position to own a house in Petone.
Yes.
So it's worked out really well so far.
New Zealand's so lucky to have you.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Such a talented person. And more we're seeing a lot of Irish women. Like, you know, the one of the directors of public health, Carolyn McAlay, and our Farron, in the embassy. There are a lot of very powerful Irish women out there now, which is really great.
Yeah, Irish women have always been imbued with power.
So who did you aspire to as a kid? Were there any women that you looked up to and thought, oh, I want to be?
Do you know, it's a funny question. I've actually been asked before, you know, if I had any role models. And I kind of always answer no, but it's because there have been too many.
Yes.
There have been so many people in my life who have had an influence and who have to take some of the credit for anything that I achieve.
Yes.
And my parents, not least of all, you know.
That's right.
My mum, Rosemary, always really encouraged my love of reading, you know, and brought me to the library all the time with complete patience and patiently answered annoying questions. And you mentioned Jackie, my dad is an engineer, and he was the same. You know, he really taught me how to use tools and always encouraged me when he was doing DIY projects, always involved me. If he didn't know the answer to my questions, we'd go off and look them up together.
My goodness.
That is such an incredibly supportive environment to be brought up in.
No wonder you have such a success.
No, it's
what
just
an amazing childhood.
I owe so much to my family and my friends around me. So I've never had a single... And also, I think that, you know, we humans are ultimately flawed. So I prefer not to put people on pedestals wherever I can for fear of disappointment. So I'm in a lucky situation that my whole life I've been surrounded by people who have been supportive and giving and encouraging of me and my interests. So.
And your school was the same? Did they pick up that you're a bit of a scientist? Or
very much. I mean, very much in that they were really encouraging. You know, my physics teacher in secondary school. So I went to the Marist St Mary's College there in Dundalk, and my physics teacher, who is an extremely good friend of mine now and still, when I said I want to study physics, he laughed. Not because he thought I couldn't do it, but because he thought you could do anything you wanted. Why would you want to choose physics? But he was always really encouraging, and we've stayed in touch all the time. You know, we're in regular contact even now, and that's a long time ago since I've been in secondary school. So.
That's fantastic. And have you got your tickets for the Ireland coming to play the All Blacks?
I don't yet, but I will absolutely be there. No, I will be there. I cannot wait.
I think my husband went online last week to book, but I don't think that they were available just yet.
Not yet. Not
so
yet.
So that's okay.
It's on the to-do list.
It's on the to-do list, definitely. And Laurie told me earlier you're going home to Ireland in a couple of weeks for
a
holiday.
I am at the end of the month, and I cannot wait. It's been 3.5 years since I hugged my parents.
Is it?
I haven't seen them since our wedding. So we got married in London, and that was the last time I saw them. So I'm desperate to get home. I can't wait.
I bet you are. Well, I wish you a very good trip, and
thank
I hope
you.
It goes really well. Now, I think another piece of music would be really good.
Sure.
So you
chosen. My second choice, I've chosen a song by Declan O'Rourke, who I think has a really beautiful voice. And the song I've chosen is Galileo, who, as hopefully your listeners will know, was a very famous scientist. So that's why I've chosen that one.
It's very apt for you.
I think so.
And that's great, Galileo.
Galileo fell in love as a Galilean boy, and he wondered what in heavens, who invented such a joy. But the question got the better of his scientific mind, and to his blind and dying gaze, he looked up high and often sighed and sometimes cried. Who puts the rainbow in the sky? Who lights the stars at night? Dreamt up someone so divine, someone like you, and made them mine. Love can make you ask some funny questions now and then, but just remember the alternatives, for I remember when I was lonely and unhappy, and my lips were cold as ice. But you kissed me, and good heavens, now I'm here in paradise. So if ever I'm not kissing you or looking in your eyes, I won't be blind and I won't cry. I look up high and gladly sigh and thank the guy who puts the rainbow in the sky, who lights the stars at night. Dreamt up someone so divine, someone like you, and made them mine. Someone like you, and made them mine.
Thank you very much. That's lovely. Declan O'Rourke came here a few years ago.
Yeah.
And so that was lovely, Laurie. Nice, a nice choice. But we're coming almost to the end of the programme. And I was just saying to Laurie before that I noted that she made a remark one time that popular science books don't pay the bills. So she has to find other ways of making a bit of money. So yes. Just tell us a wee bit about that, Laurie.
Absolutely. I do lots of different things, to be honest, Alice. I have taught at the university, at Victoria University Wellington, and I supervise postgraduate students there. I also do a lot of work with scientific research organisations. And that might be things like training their scientists in how to be more confident and more comfortable communicating their work. Or I might be writing articles about their research for annual reports. Lots of different things.
Wow. So you can turn your hand to so many different things. It's just great. Well, it's been a real pleasure and a bit of an insight, but not enough. I think we'll have to get you back to talk a bit more when I get my head around the book and everything and
my
the
pleasure.
Right questions to answer.
I'd love to.
So really appreciate that, Laurie. But just before I finish, you will know all about this, that there was a huge weekend in Ireland with everybody walking up Kropatrick to support Charlie Bird, who was a very popular Irish journalist who has motor neurone disease. And some lovely Irish people did it here in Wellington. They walked up Mount Cuckoo. Mairead Conway organised that from the Hutt Valley, so it was great. And you have been tuned in, of course, as I said, to Capital Irish on Access Radio 106.1 FM. I was taking you on a little journey with a scientist from Dundalk, Laurie Winkler.
You've been listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, thanks to the generosity of our sponsors. We couldn't be here without them. Our sponsors are Wellington Irish Trust, Susie and Peter McGuinness, and the Hutt Valley Irish Society. A very big thank you from all of us on the Capital Irish team.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Thanks, New Zealand On Air, for funding accessmedia.nz.